thank you for coming through, and it's a real pleasure to have you in the studio. I think I'm excited to dive into your craft and the amazing work that you're doing.
I mean, I have been in the 3D printing space for, been in contact with 3D printing for 10 years, but more intensively within these 8 months when I just started at SIT as a 3D printer engineer.
Okay. Yeah. SIT is an acronym for?
SIT stands for Singapore Institute of Technology.
Okay.
So it's one of the, it's the third autonomous university and the third largest in Singapore.
Okay, nice. And you've always had a fascination in 3D printing?
Yes, I think the fascination started when I was doing a project in my polytechnic days.
Yeah, I just put that mark towards you there. Okay. Yeah.
And that was my first time coming in contact with 3D printing. So for a new engineer, 3D printing is something very fascinating. Because when you first step into the engineering world, you learn of design. Then how you design in the computer is very different from what an experienced engineer will design for the industry. Yeah. So because I have to do like prototyping, then the prototyping I can design as I envision it and I print it out. But then if I'm a industrial engineer, I need to worry about how easy it is to manufacture the item. Is it possible? Because at the time I was still a new engineer.
If I can maybe take a step back, I mean, 3D printing has been something I think that's been on the radar for a while, and it's an emerging technology. I think people are still trying to really get to grips with all the different use cases and application. It's come a long way. For those people that don't understand what 3D printing is, what would be the most simplistic explanation of 3D printing? What is 3D printing?
The simplest manner to know what is 3D printing is, imagine having a sandwich.
Yeah.
A type of sandwich that you want. You want peanut butter and jelly. First,
my favorite.
Yeah. It's delicious. So the first layer you want to put is the bread. Then after that, the next layer you want to add on will be the peanut butter. Then the jelly, then another layer of the bread. Then after that, I'll form the product called peanut butter jelly sandwich. So similar to 3D printing, how we want to manufacture the part, we add layer by layer. So because it's adding layer by layer, we do not have any manners of cutting off the material from the product. We are able to create a very free-form shape items. So what we can envision is what we can create. Yeah.
So essentially you have this device, a mechanical device called a 3D printer. The 3D printer, you have raw products that you put into the 3D printer. And then this device, you can basically create any rendering of any design and then get this mechanical device to produce a product as though it's like a manufacturing process. Is that correct?
Correct. So 3D printing is a very hobby term we gave it. Imagine you're using a hot glue gun. The raw product will be the rod of plastic. Then when you push it against the hot nozzle, you're injecting out the material. So from there, imagine now you're controlling the hot glue gun to help you form the shapes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So from this process, because it's controlled by the machine, you're able to create a very nicely shaped product. That will be good enough for you to have as a prototype, to have the shape factor of it. But if you need the strength, optimization process and extra design need to be put into consideration.
And the previous way that we would create product would be injection molds or dars kais. Am I saying it correctly?
Yeah, correct. So those are some of the manufacturing technique. We call it a near net shape product.
Okay.
So we create a product. It's very near to a completed shape. Then we just need either some extra post-processing to make it to make the final features that is what we want, or make the surface shiny. But there are other manufacturing techniques such as subtractive, such as CNC, computer and controlled manufacturing. I think I'm wrong, but yeah, using a machine to help you cut away the material.
To have CNC the machine, I think is what they called it, right?
Correct.
Okay. Okay. So, excuse me, I want to come with some really basic questions. Just bear with me, because
No worries.
The reason I wanted to chat with you is, so maybe for the benefit of the listeners, this week I attended the Tusitala art event, and it was an event where startups could present how they're combining art and technology. And you were one of the presenters at that event, and that's where I saw you obviously give your 3D presentation and the kind of work that you're doing, which I've always found fascinating. I've never really fully dived into it. I think I get the core principle of it. And there was a lot of hype at some point around 3D printing. I think since, and this was maybe going back, what, 3-4 years ago, since then the technology has advanced quite a bit. It's moved from a very basic hobbyist, type of in the lab, small 3D printer, to now I see they have these bigger 3D printers that are doing houses, for example, where you can create an entire house with this robotic arm that sits in the middle and releases the substrate, almost looks like concrete, and it's just going in a very designed, computerized pattern, and by the time it's finished, you have a house. And it does that without any manual labor. It's purely this robotic arm that's creating this invention. So if I look at the future of the relevance of 3D printing and the future of 3D printing, where are we in the timeline of advancement in the technology, and why is it so relevant? What is the differentiator or the importance of 3D printing?
Okay. From that question, I'll first answer with where we are at 3D printing. But for the past 20 to 30 years, they were still in the researching process of finding what material is suitable and thinking which process and what kind of technology must we develop to create a product. Currently, we have various engineers and scientists have already created the 3D printing machine that is able to do metal, plastic, ceramics, concrete, even high-end plastic that is usable in aerospace manufacturing.
So the products that go into the 3D printer have gotten to a point of maturity where we understand what we can or can't use and combine to 3D print different outputs.
Correct. So the materials, most of them are the base common materials that we would like to use. But they are more advanced. They are much more advanced application of 3D printing. Let's say if I want to do a metal part, but then can I combine two different metal to create that one, the familiar products that we have? The answer is yes, but we need to understand how the two materials interact with one another. Then from there, we are also able to create a much higher specs product, but at a maybe lower weight, but at a higher cost.
Okay.
Then from downwards, currently 3D printing, because there is so much technology out there, but application-based, there is still a lot to explore. That is where, this is the period where we are in right now, trying to apply 3D printing at the correct items.
Gotcha.
Correct. Because 3D printing might be this marvelous technology that people had mentioned in the news or has imagined. It is, but it also come at a cost. So for industrial product, we can manufacture a product that is very nicely done. But then, is it manufacturable for the large masses? It is not worth it. So we need to find the correct items that is high customized part, but need very low quantity of it.
Okay, that's interesting. So 3D printing, and correct me if I get this wrong, is it fair to say that 3D printing has unlocked the art of the possible of creating very complicated structures and outputs depending on the input from a design perspective that would be normally very difficult to do with your other manufacturing methods? It allows you to have more flexibility when it comes to the intricacy of what you can create. However, it's not scalable from a quantum perspective.
Correct. So we can do so much intricacy with 3D printing because the complexity comes at zero, no extra cost compared to normal manufacturing, where if I need to design the inside of a product, let's say creating a hole within the product, it's not possible. Okay, not a hole, but a void, a 3D shape, but there's a hole in the middle, but the external cube is still untouched. So with normal manufacturing method, this is not possible at all.
And that's because you're going from the inside out?
Correct. So because 3D printing, we are creating from the base. So we are building up from the bottom to the top. So creating void in a 3D volume is possible with 3D printing. So these are some of the design intricacy that is possible. And going more in depth into the intricacy of 3D printing, we used to be able to maybe control the external form shape factor, so it would be nice to look at or comfortable to sit on. But now we are able to go more in depth into the product and designing the insides. So can I create the insides to be lighter? Can I create the insides to do something else rather than just being there?
What are some of the tangible examples of complicated designs? I mean, after I saw your, I think what perked my interest with your presentation, you mentioned something around rockets and rocket components, rockets that we launch into space. And then, funnily enough, the next morning I woke up and I hit my Twitter feed like I do every day, and immediately I saw another article about a rocket that had the entire rocket had been 3D printed, if I'm not mistaken. And I was just like, wow, okay, I didn't realize the technology had advanced to the point that we were producing complicated machinery or a rocket, you know, that is 3D printed that can fulfill that function. That's a game changer in my mind. So what are some really cool intricate designs or use cases that you've seen 3D printing applied to?
So currently some of the newest example for 3D printing making use of the intricacy that you create is called maybe cooling fin or heat exchanger. Because let's say heat exchanger you need to have extra space for it to have the cooling fins. Then you also need to ensure that you need to create the extra features where your two material exchange heat without touching one another, like external features. But now...
Say that again, sorry, sir.
So because heat exchanger, we need to be able to provide channels for the heat to exchange, correct? Okay. Then from there, we need to, because of these fins or the channels, we need to create external features to incorporate this kind of cooling elements. Gotcha. But with 3D printing, we can customize the inside of a product. So instead of a product being a whole solid, we can make micro channels within.
Which improves the efficiency of heat transfer or cooling.
Correct. One part of it is improving the heat transfer and cooling. The second part is making it a lot lighter. And third, you can make the product smaller. Because since you're improving the heat exchange rate, if I want to have the same amount of heat exchange, I can reduce the size of the product.
Whoa, okay. Let's just explore that to getting my creative juices going here. So, okay, I'm starting to get it. So, first of all, we can play around and tinker with the materials that make up the 3D printed object, which allows us to put together different elements that produces a lighter, more conductive, whatever is necessary for the design product. Then from a 3D printing perspective, we can do more intricate designs. It allows us to create complex designs where normal manufacturing processes wouldn't allow us to do that, which changes the game when we're talking about this use case, for example, with rockets, creating vents or grooves that allow on the inside of the design a higher heat transfer or management mechanism, which means that we can therefore use less material to achieve the same result, which means we change the economics of the output for something like a rocket. And with rockets specifically, if you look at the cost per kilogram of the different rockets over time, what Elon Musk has done really well is created a reusable rocket, which reduces the cost per kilogram to send something into space, which enables us to go further to places like Mars and carry more product to obviously do what we need to do within the space race. So fundamentally, 3D printing is changing the game around all of those different aspects when it comes to what you can make, what materials you can make up, how you make it, and the economics of that material or that output.
Correct. So adding on to what you mentioned, the interesting aspects you mentioned about space, because that was also one of my final year project when I did in my graduate study. So because now you can send like, let's say, the stock material to outer space instead of creating all the different little tools that you need. Then from there, because you need to send the stock materials, you can actually print it in outer space.
Whoa, okay. So you don't make the materials and you don't make the products and send it. You send the 3D printer and the the component, the material to make the products, and you produce it in space.
Correct. So that is another different layer of bringing materials and changing the economics of making a single tool.
So what's Elon going to do? You reckon he's just going to send 3D printers to Mars, unload them, and let it build a colonization, something like that?
Yeah, actually, yeah, it's not very far-fetched that thing that those that you mentioned currently. Because I think 3 to 4 years ago when I was doing some research, there are already competition going, testing out how do we print regolith. Regolith is the lunar dust material for printing. So you can treat it like concrete. So you can use 3D printer and you're able to take the existing material in the planet, let's say in Mars, those sand or mass sand, then you can create structures with 3D printer you have sent there.
So you don't even need to take the material. You just send the 3D printer and leverage the existing materials on the relevant planet.
Correct. So there was a competition to show how can we make a livable habitat in Mars using 3D printer.
And do we understand the materials that are on the different planets? I suppose only the ones that we've been to where we've collected samples, right?
Yes. Then because I'm not specialized in this field, I will say the first time they create this kind of printing is using moon dust.
Okay.
Yeah. So using moon dust, if they're able to recreate this product, then they can apply the same concept to Mars. And because of this kind, but then again, stones, the mixture between the stones and dust, we can try to imitate it on Earth because of the samples that we have gathered through the robotics. So from there, we're able to create a small sample and test the printability of the material.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That changes the game. And then I suppose in the same breath, then that principle applies on Earth. We don't need to, we can start, we could, if we understand the composition of material in a geographical location, we can airdrop in a 3D printer and start building something in that location without having to truck in all of the materials that are pre-built, or that's the same principle, right?
Yes. Technically, we can do it as well. But the material composition is always very hard, very difficult for them to figure out the printability, because every different material that we have right now that can be printed, there's a lot of research going through before it's being sent out to the public. So if they need to go to a new area, they need to do maybe 1 to 2 years or maybe 5 years worth of research before that can happen.
What's okay? But now we have this other new wild card that's called artificial intelligence.
Correct.
So tell me about how AI is crossing over into the 3D printing world, because I have some ideas, but I'd be keen to explore your mind first. You know, I would, my view on AI is it's shortening, if we look at what's happening now as we, 2023, week on week, I can't keep up with what's happening with AI. It's freaking me out. You know, I've seen a few thousand startups emerging every month with ChatGPT and the language models that are emerging. So the rate at which people are innovating, or the rate at which AI allows you to analyze or solve things, is shortening what would take years down into months, maybe even shorter. So where does AI cross over with 3D printing, and what's the latest innovations happening in that space?
Okay, glad you brought this point, because just now, yesterday, I also chanced upon an article where AI is now able to do modeling. So if they're able to do modeling, 3D modeling on computer, then they're able to do design that's printable in 3D printing. I also saw some example where people have used AI to help them create model that is printable 1 or 2 months ago.
Okay, so it's happening.
So it is happening.
So going from text to, so from text to 3D model.
Correct.
From 3D model to 3D printer.
Correct.
So I don't have to be an expert in AutoCAD or to be able to do a 3D model. I, as Llewellyn, if I have the right ideation, could be, I want to create, I don't know, this product, and go into an AI model, and then I prompt it to create a 3D output for me. That could maybe be validated by someone.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, go into 3D printing innovation.
Yes, it's possible. But barrier entry to go into 3D printing is understand, or going to entry into any manufacturing technique is understand how the manufacturing technique works.
Mm.
Because you need to design around the manufacturing techniques. Even though I mentioned 3D printing is able to let you create out of anything or whatever shape you want, but there are still some limitations to what is possible. Yeah, compared to using conventional method where it's using subtractive or using a neural net shape, 3D printing have limitations, but a lot lesser compared to them.
Mm.
Yeah, but this kind of limitation come at a cost. So if you want to enter 3D printing using AI, it's possible. It can make your ideas printable, but then from there, when you engage the expert also need to understand what's your concept first, because what is designed by an AI might meet your expectation, but through an experienced learner, through an experienced practitioner, they will be able to identify a lot of maybe errors in the AI modeling, because creating simple model is easy, but creating functional models is not as simple as it is, because there are still a lot of knowledge that we need to tap on before we can say, oh, this is workable.
But again, I think the interesting part is if you if you're smart about it and you take that complex design, get someone who's knowledgeable and an expert in the space to correct and validate it and to update the learning model as to what was wrong about it, the AI improves.
Correct.
And all of a sudden is better. And I suppose that's the point, right? Is that if you're training the machine learning or the AI correctly, it just keeps improving. That's why if you look at the difference between ChatGPT 3.5 and 4, I only started playing with 3.5 and I'm now playing with 4. And if I look at the difference between 3.5 and 4, well, whole different ballgame, right? So that principle would apply, which means that there's a space to innovate between AI, 3D printing. And then that space has different use cases. It's in the ability to go from text to 3D design to 3D printing, and possibly also in analyzing composition and reducing that 3 to 5 year analysis to, if I take a soil sample from somewhere, what do I need to do to be able to turn that into a 3D printable substrate, right?
Yeah. So they can use existing data to help make a very smart guesstimation of what is needed. Yeah. Mm. From there, even with, I think what you say is very true, how AI develop at a very fast speed that is very hard to catch up, but also shorten the entry barrier for a lot of new people who want to enter through it.
Mm.
Then because 3D printing, there are still a lot of areas where I think AI can certainly do a huge difference in 3D printing, such as the techniques of 3D printing. Because currently what we have right now is printing the same layers at different height. But then do we really need it to be the same layer height? Because if there's no features, can I print more? Then from there the control can be done by AI.
I'm not sure I understand that. Just explain that to me again.
So let's say I have one cm cube. Okay. Then only at the very end, right? At the near to the one end of the 1 cm, there is some very features that are, there are very some very detailed features I need to print at that layer height. Let's give the layer height 0.1 mm.
Okay.
Then the first 0.9, first nine layers, there's not any fine features, it's just basic printing. So do I really need it to be 0.1 layer height? Can I make it a lot thicker, then increase the speed of printing? Then only until the last layer, I print at a slow speed to create the fine details.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So that is one area where we call it adaptive layer height, where you can increase the speed of your printing by a lot.
Is that one of the challenges, is the speed of printing? Is that one of the limitations of 3D printing?
It is. There are ways to go around it, but let's say using laser to create a product for metal. If you're using one laser, of course, let's say call it one laser speed. But if you can use two laser and doing concurrently, two dual printing at once, it'll be faster. So I increase more laser, and the speed increase, but it'll come at a very high cost.
Are you talking about using 3D printing in conjunction with laser?
Yes. Oh, wait. I think I went into another field of 3D printing. Okay. Let's say if I want to create using plastic.
Yeah.
I need to change the heater that I'm using to melt the plastic. Then if I change it, my cost will increase. Then after that, I might need to change other areas to keep up with the heat that's being generated. So all this, increase the speed, I need to change so much, other items. But now I can just play with the, I can still keep the same design specs, but now I just change the strategy of printing.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. It's fascinating. What other technologies are converging with 3D printing? I mean, we've covered AR and how that is crossing over and enabling 3D printing. What other technologies are emerging that are helping to unlock use cases for 3D printing?
Other technologies. For now, nothing comes to my head.
Okay,
we'll keep this question running in my head until when I think of an example, then I'll say it.
Nice, I like it. Are we seeing people integrate IoT or anything? I suppose you could, because whatever the output, I mean, some of the interesting things you've mentioned about that have been printed from a 3D printing machine is rocket components. We've mentioned whole rockets. I think I've seen something for, you got a lot of things for the human body, right? That have also been printed, different types. Have I seen something, I might be wrong, for the middle ear, like a cochlear chamber or something like that? Or am I just making stuff up here? What examples have you seen?
You're not making stuff up. There are a lot of 3D printed parts that is like implants for the human body. One of it, we can call it the, I placed it into three different forms. One is the orthopedics, where it's the spinal implants or the different bone implants that is placed inside the body. Then the second will be 3D printing organs. Or 3D printing organ is still in the research phase, where they're able to print out a shape of the organ. Then after that, they inject the cells of the person who need it. Then the heart, it will be his. Yeah, that one, don't quote me on that. I'm just giving a very simplified example.
But again, we were never able to do that before, because if you look at any organ,
mm-hmm.
like a heart, for example, and the intricacies of the valves and the arteries that go through a heart, we could never produce that in a normal manufacturing process. So 3D printing has allowed us, because of the nature of 3D printing, to for the first time produce organs with all the intricacies required.
Correct. So because of the intricacy, 3D printing, it is also able to go into the nanoscale level. Yeah. So it's not just the micrometer level, where it's what we've seen in the everyday, what we do in everyday life. But now we can actually go into the nanoscale level and recreate items that have intricacy, just like our heart, or even some of the smaller medical device that is going to be implanted in our bodies. Yeah.
And what were you saying about the cells being injected? What was that about? Is that for the organ to be accepted by the body?
Correct. So, because I'm not a specialist in this area. The part is created in a manner where it is not belonging to anyone, it's empty. So only when you need it, then you can inject your maybe blood cells to make it yours, so the organ rejection rate will be close to zero.
Okay, got you. So that's another innovation that's happening then, I suppose, within the 3D printing world, is the combination of is there nanotechnology also been introduced?
Nano is one of the tech that could be, that is possible, but it's still in the very nascent phase. There is not much, I haven't read much about it yet.
Nice. I'm pushing the boundaries of the 9. Yeah.
Correct. Even the organ 3D printing is still in very nascent stage. So there are still a lot of big research being done around it to make it safe for user to use it.
Okay, you got to go through the medical trials and follow that process. But again, the entrepreneur in me is like getting more and more intrigued here. It's fair to say that we're now getting to a stage of 3D printing where we can innovate at a different rate. So if you're an entrepreneur, it's now starting to really become accessible, less barriers to entry, more ability to leverage things like AR. It's just about the art of the possible and what you can think of. Where haven't we been able to solve a problem with normal manufacturing or design and leveraging 3D printing to create new products that could fill a gap or solve a problem?
Correct, correct. And you are very right about, it's like a very good summary of what we have went through previously. So now 3D printing is much more of an assistive technology that helps to resolve problems that is not possible to be solved previously. Because one of the newest startups, I think it's called Craft Health, they're able to 3D print specific drugs for specific users.
Did you say drugs?
Medical drugs.
Medical drugs, of
course. Correct, correct. And this graph...
Why would... So instead of manufacturing the tablets, you're saying 3D print the tablets.
Correct. But these tablets is not your knock-off-the-shelf tablets. It's those created specifically for a certain patient.
Okay.
Yeah. Because if not wrong, when I saw a video of how specific drugs are created for different conditions, let's say a young kid who need to eat medicine but have a condition where she only likes red color or cherry flavor items. So they have to So a dispenser have to remake the drug and then add cherry flavor to it. Okay. But the drug is still remade, but drug efficient, what it is still remain as it is, but with the cherry flavor. They need to create this by hand. Yeah. So with 3D printing now, it's a lot easier to recreate this drug.
How far away are we? Remember when you won't remember, I don't remember, but as I said, when computers first came out, if I go back and look at some of the literature, they never thought it was going to be something that you would have, every person would have their own computer, right? Are we going to get to a stage in our existence where every house is going to have a 3D printer?
That's a very interesting question. I have different thoughts for it.
Okay, let's explore. Let's shoot the breeze.
Yeah. 3D printers is now very... It can be installed easily in every household, very easily. But then, is it good to do that? I will say yes and no.
Why is it not good?
Because I've been in the 3D space for quite a while, and I have seen what people have printed. Yeah, it is a waste of material.
Well, you just triggered a thought in my mind. I recently came across some literature around 3D printed guns.
Oh, yes.
And how they're untraceable. So if someone's created a design, you can 3D print a weapon that is off the grid, okay, and can actually kill someone, right? So that's probably one of those negative things. When you said the waste of material, what do you mean by that?
Because quite a number of people who bought 3D printers, of course, they do create products that help to improve their life at home. That I feel is a very good use of the printer and the materials. But then there are also a lot of people who print out a lot of figurine toys. Yeah. And
it's always been quite gimmicky to date.
Correct.
But what triggered the thought for me there is when you started speaking about medicine, right? So if there are functional use cases in the home, okay, so medicine is one. Will we ever get to a point where we're 3D printing food?
3D printing food is a topic that I like a lot. Yeah, it's possible, but at the current pace, it's not. I don't think it'll be something that'll be available at everybody's house in the near 20-30 years.
Okay. 20, 30 years is a long time.
All right.
At the rates that things are moving now. But are you saying that, are we currently 3D printing food?
Oh, yes, there is. There's quite a few examples. There are, I think, you know, 7 or 8 years ago, there are 3D print, there are pop-ups in, I think, London, where chefs are using 3D printer to help them recreate certain structures of food. Then after that, when they printed, they do extra post-processing. Let's say they go pan grill it. Then they create a very interesting texture and a very nice shape. Then there are also 3D printed sugar, where they create very very nice shapes, where it's not possible with the human hands.
Yeah. Okay, so like intricate sugar cube designs or something.
Correct, intricate sugar cube. But they're also 3D printed chocolates.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Got you. And is there a, I mean, they're busy. I'm really going out far left, so bear with me. So they're busy growing lab meat. Are we going to get to a point where you print a steak?
Yes, there is. This is one of the few hottest area in 3D printing recent in, I think, this year or last year. So there are a few companies that are a startup that are actually trying to recreate 3D printed steaks, where you can customize where the fats or muscles, the position of the fats and muscles. Then from there, you can, theoretically speaking, you can print out Wagyu.
The perfect Wagyu steak.
Correct.
Wow.
You can print out the specific cut that you like, or you can just print out, just, you can print out fats or muscle interlink at, like, how to say, like alternately. Then you create a very weird meat cut that you can't get from an animal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Okay. Okay, so I suppose the use of it, I think just leave your lid off there, bud. Just leave it off. Yeah. The use cases would justify the 3D printer ever making it into the home. I think that's maybe the point, which is if the use cases unlock where that 3D printer can be making your medicine, can be printing you a nice Wagyu steak, can help produce relevant things that you use in the home, that would justify it. Other than that, I mean, the only thing I've seen 3D printers doing when they first emerged, where people weren't sure where it would be relevant and they were making figurines or toys. Then of late, I've seen more intricate designs, and we've mentioned a few of them now on the podcast. So it's an would you say we're really starting to get to, are we still emerging, or is it getting to a mature stage of application?
I would still say we are still emerging in certain areas and mature at certain fields as well. Let's say for art decorations, 3D printing it, using 3D printer, I can use it at home.
Mm.
I can recreate an art decoration that I like, or I can even create figurines. But that is a mature area. But if I want to recreate drugs, meats, all this, it's going to go to the market in the near future, but not now.
So if I were an entrepreneur, how do I decide where to play? Do I try and identify verticals where there's potential problems, statements that I can create, or how would you advise someone listening to this on where to, if they wanted to innovate in this 3D printing world, where's the sweet spot right now?
The sweet spot right now? I think it would be, if there are more software-based skills, I would recommend them into integrating software solutions for 3D printing. But if they're entrepreneurs, want to find new problems, This is a very, very generous saying, but find what the market needs or the problem, then recreate on it. Yeah. Because for me, I don't really look at what kind of problems I have. I just go around it. That's why I won't be an entrepreneur for now. But for entrepreneur who thinks that they can solve the problem in 3D printing, go ahead with it. Yeah, I think it'll be very relevant. Let's just say even recreating products, very basic product like speakers, I can 3D print it out and optimize the speaker for best surround sound. And that is an idea. So it depends on what is their ingenuity and how far were they willing to explore.
Got you. So maybe understand the differentiators that 3D printing offers. From there, see where you can take that differentiator and apply it to a product, a vertical, or a pain point to be solved. I mean, you can create a really lucrative business in this space, right? If you find that, are there some success stories? What companies are doing really well that have emerged from 3D printing and completely overtaken a whole industry or vertical? You mentioned medicine, you mentioned for organs, body parts.
I will go for the, I think I'll be seeing in the field of heat exchanger.
Okay.
Because 3D printing really changed the market, really changed the design for heat exchanger. Let's say if I have a heat exchanger I need is 50 cm, but I can recreate it maybe half the size or even 1/10 of the original size. And because of the ability to recreate the same performance or improve performance at the same product size specs or even smaller, the product that revolve around it also will change. So from there, heat exchanger really is really one of the game changer that 3D printing has bring forward. Yeah.
I mean, immediately I feel like I wish I had ChatGPT open. Yeah, I'd be like, what are all the products that use heat exchangers? And list the biggest, what market has the biggest share? Or, you know, where's the biggest consumption of heat exchangers?
No.
And then I would be like, okay, help me. What would you recommend as an innovation through 3D printing that could improve a heat exchanger in Industry X? And then maybe go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, actually it's possible. I can give you the answer straight away for the top three aircraft.
Yeah.
Cars.
Yeah.
Data centers. Yeah.
For some reason, heat pumps and air conditioning units also jumped out to me.
Correct. So these heat pumps and heat exchange and air cons are under, I would say, is also covered under heat exchanger as well. So how you design and how you call it can be different, because air con in a way is also a heat exchanger.
Yeah.
It takes away the heat and give out cold air.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's like if we look at the need to reduce carbon consumption, air cons, I think, must make up a significant percentage of our energy consumption. So if you could revolutionize the air con industry through 3D printing, you have that not only at residential level, at a enterprise corporate level, even at a motor vehicle level. Air cons are everywhere, right?
Correct. So I will say, how about we give it another point of view? Instead of redesigning aircons to make it to make the consumption lesser, how can you recreate an existing item like fan or buildings to make it more suitable for airflow, so we don't need aircon. So aircon is a wonderful way to look at and how to reduce the consumption, but then how can we make use of, because 3D printing can offer us free flow, this kind of complex design at lower cost. Can we use this kind of complex design to help us create the airflow that will make it cooler?
Interesting. So get to the causality of the problem.
Correct.
Don't solve the symptom. You can, because, I mean, you aircons exist, so you could solve the as-built scenario. But if you really wanted to innovate, start 3D printing structures that enhance airflow and heat transfer, which works on basic principles of hot air rises, and you know, you could work with that. Okay, so if you start getting down to like a first principle thinking, you have to apply first principles thinking, which is to get and understand the true economics and pain point behind something to revolutionize an entire industry. And that's what Elon does infamously well, right?
Correct.
And that's why he created rockets that are economically viable by creating something that no one thought was possible, which is a reusable rocket.
Yeah,
it fundamentally changed the game. So there's that level of innovation waiting to be unlocked with 3D printing.
Yes, it's possible. How people want to revolution, there is 3D printing itself is a revolution. So creating products, it used to be only at the hands of big companies or companies. But now with 3D printer, I can recreate products at my own house. From that, you can see the whole change in the industry of who produced the items. Then how 3D printing or the technique also revolutionized how stocks are being kept in areas. I'll give an example of it. Like, let's say if I have a product which is printed in Europe, which is produced in Europe, then I need it to ship into Singapore. It might take maybe 3 months, 1 month. But now with 3D printing, if I have the same 3D printer, have the same specs and parameters, I can reproduce the same item in Singapore by just sending the file over. So by sending the file over, what I'm doing right now is that I've been reducing that shipping time, and what I need to cater is just the printing timing.
Whoa. You are democratizing manufacture.
Yes.
You decentralizing manufacturing capability, which is interesting because it means it's going to change the landscape regarding supply, demand, dependency on manufacturing, inherently manufacturing powerhouses. There's an element of disruption there, right?
There's a huge disruption. So one way, coming from how manufacturers look at it, they will be the one who start supplying the file and start setting up print farms in different countries to create the supply set in the country.
Print farms, is that the technical name?
Yeah. Service bureau would be the technical name.
I prefer print farms.
Yeah, it sounds much more comfortable, I would say.
Yeah.
Then, so instead of passing this kind of power to the service bureau, they can do it and start selling it as a service or recreate a manufacturing area. Then from there, they're able to control their IP. But then because 3D printing, we're able to recreate a product, IP is also a very touchy stuff.
Where is the IP? Is the IP the design?
The design.
Okay.
So let's say if I just have a general shape table, the table that I have in the studio right now, I can just recreate and print it. So from there, am I infringing on people's IP? That's the questionable part for 3D printing.
Well, that's a tough one. You could reverse engineer, you could 3D print something, buy it, reverse engineer it. Depends how complex the item is.
Correct.
And then I suppose the whole world of AR text to generation is going to change the game, because then a lot of the IP, inverted commas, sits with the AR's capability based on learning to develop complex designs. Eventually it'll get to a point where those designs will be flawless, which means your imagination is your only limitation. Wow, it's interesting.
Yeah, correct. That's why 3D printing is one of a, I would call it a very huge disruption in a lot of different manners. One, the earlier one was the how you can reproduce items now. Then the second is digital stock taking instead of having a manual warehouse.
Yeah. Mm.
Then the third would be the power to create things that help the to help people to start their business very fast. Because last time, if I have an idea to do something, I may need to contact a manufacturer. Mm. Then the manufacturer might need a few weeks to recreate the mold and to create a shape for me. But then what if it doesn't work?
I've been there. I've tried that before. Yeah. And I did it once when I first left corporate and I tried to build a smart home product.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through the manufacturing process of getting that done. It took much longer than I expected. It was an extremely stressful process because we went through different iterations to get that MVP piece of hardware kit that would integrate into the geyser of a house,
mm-hmm.
as well as the DB board. And then it's about getting that initial components, electrical circuits, the casing, everything designed correctly, then making sure it complies with the relevant regulations. And by the time we had produced a product, which we eventually did, it wasn't the prettiest thing, but it worked. And we developed something that worked, and we try to revolutionize geyser bursts and predict when a geyser is going to burst and be able to stop the event from happening, which would reduce the insurance risk. Mm. Anyway, we developed the product, and I promised to myself after that I would never produce a piece of hardware again. I would rather not reinvent the wheel, but find an existing product that I would use, because it was so laborious and it was such a long cycle. But that's changing now with this.
Yes. So a lot of big companies, okay, 3D printing is more of the general term used currently, but in the industry, it used to be called rapid prototyping, and currently it's called additive manufacturing. So from these two terms, right, you can see how the industrial overview of 3D printing. 3D rapid prototyping, fast rapid prototyping, you can recreate your prototype very fast. The iteration, I can just design and can print it out in less than 1 week. I can iterate twice. Yeah. But with that, it create a very fast rapid prototyping, but it ends after the prototyping process. But now we have this term called additive manufacturing, where the engineering field is looking as overview as another manufacturing technique instead of just a prototyping tool. So now it's a manufacturing technique, means it is more viable. They can create products that can be sold to the consumer, where it used to just be a tool where they stop at the design phase.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's very different how they view it right now.
And would it be possible to have baked into the software all the ISO or relevant country legislation requirements for compliance pre-baked into the software, so that when you're coming up with a design, it automatically caters for that to ensure you're compliant off the bat?
Yeah, I think it's possible. If anyone has the ingenuity to have the ingenuity and innovation to do it, I think it's a very good tool to help resolve a lot of this kind of problems that could arrive. And a lot of the time spent on checking the IS, whether it's sticking to the industrial standard.
Gotcha.
But then one possible manners where I feel it might be a bit challenging, because industrial standard is always changing, and which is the right standard, which is the right best practice to follow. And that would be up to the user defined who created products.
Yeah, I agree. That is a difficult thing to keep up with. But again, I have the benefit of working with hundreds of startups and coming across 1,000 in a year at least, where I get to see the latest tech. And one of the cool things I've recently seen is a fellow South African that has created a machine-readable legal application where mm-hmm. you can push any legislation into it. It makes it machine readable and then in real time dedupe it against whether it's a IoT interface or a project management tool. So you can see if you're in or out of spec. So if I talk to something I know, imagine you have a factory and you want to stay compliant to the Occupational Health and Safety Act. Okay. The IoT sensors in real time will pick up the noise, the chemical exposure, vibration, whatever it may be, and then could automatically dedupe against the relevant legislation and tell you where you're out of whack, not compliant. And then I suppose if you really wanted to get sexy, you throw in AI to give you recommendations on how to fix it. That's where we're going, right?
I think that is a very good idea because all these regulations to find it and to read it, to find the details, it takes up a lot of time.
It's too much, yeah. I agree. Okay, so tell me a little bit about you at the university, right? Mm-hmm. What's happening in the education space with regards to 3D printing? At what level are the youth being exposed to 3D printing? Is it happening at a school level or is it only something that you can specialize in after school? And tell us a little bit about the work that you're doing at the university.
Okay, starting from the education, what the student is having right now. At SIT, they are exposed to it since the first year where they have projects and they are encouraged to use 3D printing to help them create the prototypes.
But is this an engineering or is this a 3D printing course or faculty?
It's not a 3D printing course or faculty. Let's just say if I'm in chemical engineering, then I have a problem statement.
Okay.
Can I create a product? But then instead of going to the normal manufacturing route where I need to source for a supplier, I can create a design and then print it in the school. Then from there, I can see whether my design works. It just gives a fast overview whether it can work.
Okay.
Then that is the current level SIT where they encourage to use 3D printing as their prototyping tool, and there are also student projects where they characterize material, where they use it as an application to help recreate whether they can recreate this product for a company. Because how SIT project work is very different from other, I think, NTU and US. Because SIT, they have a one-year internship at a company where they are the assistant engineer. Then they need to source problem statement from the company. And after they bring it back to uni and start working as their capstone. Then from this capstone, some of them might be printing related and they will need to resolve it as they will need to solve it, and then it will be counted as a project under their name and with a professor as a supervisor to guide them along the way. So from there, they're able to use 3D printer as an application. Yeah. So students in school, they do know what is 3D printing. They also know how to design around it. But then there's no specific degree for it. Let's say degree for additive manufacturing is still not a thing I remember I saw last few years.
Mm.
Then sorry, what are the other two questions again?
No. So let's stay with that. So if a company presents a challenge to the university, mm-hmm. you allow students to try and solve that either individually or working in groups. You provide the infrastructure, the 3D mm-hmm. printers, the knowledge, the guidance, the mentorship to try and solve the challenge. Let's say they solve it and it becomes an innovation. Who owns mm-hmm. that innovation? How does the legalities or the IP ownership mm-hmm. work?
Oh, this one, I can't give a comment on that because I'm not very familiar with how the internship and company deal with the IP.
Okay.
Because I'm still quite new and I never delve quite deep into the IP of their projects.
Okay, got you. So if I, as a layman off the street, if I had an idea, could mm-hmm. I collaborate with the university to come and try and print something? Or?
Oh, It's possible because if you have an idea and you don't have expertise in 3D printing, you can come to us and then come with us. Oh, this is a problem statement. Can we solve it? Then we can work as a project. So it's not just printing. We also give the technical advice or we also help with the designs of what is possible with the statement that you have give.
But I suppose you would qualify whether it's a problem worth solving because there's time, resources.
Correct, correct. Costs. Because doing projects with university is not just, I have a problem statement, but then if it's a problem solved, it's a problem statement for you and you really feel it's a problem, we can do a feasibility test to see whether we can, whether it can be solved with 3D printing. Yeah. Then followed by that, we can, after that, we can go for funding where if the innovator really feels this really a product that he believes in, he will need to put up some cash contribution to qualify for the funding as well.
Okay.
Then the university will have a PI and the respective engineer to work out the product with the innovator.
I'm tempted to come and innovate and build some stuff with you guys.
I mean, we are happy to work with anyone we can get.
Let me find the right problem to solve.
Yes, that would be good. That would be good.
Nice. And your specific role within the university?
My specific role is a design engineer for 3D printing.
Okay.
Because I have been around for around 10 years. Then my postgrad, I specialized in 3D printing. So from there, because of 10 years of experience, not in work, but in terms of encountering design around it, I still have the technical advantage of how do I predict, how can I design a part which is suitable for printing, and how can I recreate, how can I make it, the features more compact, and how do I make design more suitable for what the, for what your idea you have. Yeah. So from there, I try to apply 3D printing around the problem statement that they give us.
Okay. And what keeps you awake at night? What's really exciting you at the moment in the space?
In 3D printing, I'll be seeing, I think it would be the materials that, printing two different materials at once. Because currently, in the consumer space, the hottest thing is printing multicolor.
Okay.
Yeah, so I can have 8 rolls of filament and have 1 3D printer and able to interchange and print a finished product. Rather than the current printer where I only can print not one color. So from there, there's a lot of new interesting items constantly being churned out by the users every day.
What would be a practical example of that?
Oh, some would be, one of it would be the Mario figurine.
Okay.
Yeah, Mario figurine, there's 4 colors, blue, red, white, black. But then if I print it with a traditional, with the previous printer that I have, it will only be, I can either choose a red filament, white filament, blue, or black.
Gotcha.
But then it won't be multicolor. Okay. Yeah, but now users can use this printer to create finished product and sell it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Something that jumped out to my mind now while we were speaking, will 3D printing ever get to a point of producing circuit boards or chipsets?
There are some which you can call it conformal cooling, where conformal printing, where they print the graph, they use graph, I think they use graphene ink and print it to the surface of the part. Then from there, because of this graphene, they're able to use it. Because graphene is a good conductor, they're able to create a circuit board on the part. Let's say it's curved, I can recreate a curved circuit board.
Interesting. And is there still a lot of space for innovation on the substances that can go into 3D printing? I know we spoke about it earlier, but I'm just thinking something, you know, we've touched on AI and this is how my mind works. It's a little bit scattered, so bear with me. But I really am fascinated by this topic. And is there room for innovation? One of the things that I read about AI is that they suspect that AI is going to revolutionize our understanding of the periodic table. And through AI, we will discover new elements compositions, right, that can open up things that we haven't been able to create as humans yet.
Mm.
Do you think that that type of innovation of AI giving us intelligence on what we could use as compositions could fundamentally catalyze the 3D printing world?
Definitely. I'll say yes, because current composition for materials is based on existing alloys. So what alloy is possible that is created right now in the ingots form, you can actually powderize it and print it out. But then if using AI, they are able to, let's say, create a 23 metal alloy composition, then let's call it starlight. So starlight alloy is able to be stronger, lighter, while able to conduct heat faster. And it's printable, then it'll be a big game changer.
Because you could produce something that we haven't even thought of yet because Correct. Of what that material can do. Are we 3D printing with things like gold?
Oh, gold. Gold is a very recent material that is available for printing.
Really?
Yes. Last month it was released. Someone made gold printable by a laser power machine.
And what did they print?
Oh, they print jewelry.
Wow. And I'm pretty sure that your jewelry probably looks amazing.
They never released the photo, so I don't really know. But they just say gold is now a printable item. Yeah.
Wow. But then gold's a great conductor, right?
Correct.
Which means that there's a whole field of innovation as to what you can print with gold that could be used as a conductor for a complex design.
Correct. So that is one possible route, but now people are more focused on copper.
Okay.
Because copper is termed as the most reasonably priced heat conductor.
Fair point.
Correct. So because gold is quite expensive, I think quite a lot of manufacturers try to stay away from it.
But it is used still in our electronics.
Correct.
Because it's a better conductor.
Yes,
so it was very specific elements or components within a circuit board design.
Mm. So it's still a very possible route, but how they put the layer of gold on top is a very efficient method where they just deposit maybe one or two very thin layers.
Mm.
Yeah. So from there...
So I suppose you could use it more sparingly. Through 3D printing,
Correct.
It changes the ability to... Because it's such an expensive resource, you could be more accurate or precise in your application of the gold in a 3D design. Especially, maybe the whole item wouldn't need to be gold, just the relevant surface layer within the 3D design. Or I don't know, I'm just thinking outside the box.
Yeah, I think it's definitely possible. Yeah. Because now with 3D printing, maybe you can even print out maybe a block of steel, then you can interlay gold with it. It's even possible.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Wow, it's fascinating. What would be the craziest thing that you would like to see printed from 3D, a 3D printer that you haven't been able to do or you don't think is possible yet?
Mm. I'll say a human.
A human?
Yeah. Because... 3D printing, I can print out almost anything. So from there, is it possible to print out a human?
Wow.
Because a human, maybe even a cyborg.
Yeah.
Let's say I can customize.
Going to like Westworld now.
Correct. Yeah, but I think it's interesting. Because it's a thought experiment.
Yeah.
So from there, can I make the bones of the cyborg stronger? Because from there, because of the powder that I can use, right, I can print a titanium piece of bone, but then still make it as light as a human bone.
Because you'd make it porous.
Correct.
Oh.
So because I can do this kind of intricate design within the structure, I can make it porous, then make it resemble a bone. But then from there, can I actually put in some kind of a self-healing element to it? When it became damaged, then it can self-heal.
I mean, you could also make it that you don't need veins on top of the bone. You could create the veins through the bone, which achieves a double benefit.
Correct. So it's a very interesting concept where we can use the 3D printer to create. Because if you see the best 3D printer in nature, right? You can see as there's one example of it is the mycelium, where it's the mushroom. Where,
mushrooms, mycelium, yeah.
Mycelium, where they can take up the shape of a object which they're conformed to very fast. So they term it as mycelium furniture.
I'm not familiar with that. Yeah. I enjoy mushrooms and the study of mushrooms, but mycelium. So you're saying just explain that again. I want to learn something new here, please. So yeah. Just explain it to me again.
So if I remember correctly, the mushroom will recreate that a kind of a porous structure, foam porous structure.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, wait. Is it mushroom? No, it's not. It's more of... I'm getting very confused whether it's the mushroom foam which they use or is it... the animal where they use the insects to recreate the structure within.
So they grow whatever it is into the shape of a structure. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. Then after that, they do some coating and it will be a very nice finished product. So in a way, it's a 3D printer.
Got you. A 3D grower.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, this has really been fascinating and I think kudos to you and the work that you're doing. If anyone wants to reach out to you or learn more, where can they follow you or what can they do to get into contact or?
I think they can either go my LinkedIn at YIJIAN, the HUI. Or they can contact me at my email account, yijian.hui@singaporetech.edu.sg. Yeah, from there, then we can have more discussion. So, because I think there's still a lot of undiscovered places in 3D printer, and there's so many things to talk about it. Yeah. Because once you talk into a certain area, it can branch off to a lot more different areas.
I mean, I'm thinking about all the startups in our ecosystem and, you know, I suppose it would need to be relevant for it's not applicable to all startups, but, you know, there's food tech startups, I'm trying to think of the startups that we could kind of just get into a room and think what we could co-create or how they could leverage this technology. I have the problem of having too many ideas and trying to start them and just not enough time. I would definitely like to apply my mind more now that this emerging technology is really starting to take shape. I think the combination of AI and 3D printing is quite exciting. I feel like there's a gap there. I think we are... It's an interesting time to be alive, and it's going to get to a point where it's going to come down to your imagination. And if you have a structured enough process and you can pinpoint the right problem to solve, there's innovation waiting to be born, right?
Yes, correct. So especially I like it when you keep mentioning about whether imagination is the only limit that you have. They're one of our slogans for our 3D printing hub is printing your imagination.
Yeah, I love it. That's awesome.
Yeah, so from there, how the user can imagine how they want to create items, and we'll see how we can make it possible.
Nice. Well, I look forward to following your work, and may this be the first of many discussions. Keep me posted on your innovations, and hopefully I can come visit you in the lab and see some of the cool stuff that you guys are doing. Yeah. I'd love to come visit.
Yeah, sure, no problem. If you got any, if you got time, we can just bring you along. Then after that, I can link you up with my, with the professors who are more in depth into 3D printing, more knowledgeable than what I know.
Well, I think you've been pretty knowledgeable, and they can be proud of what you've shared. I've learned a lot, and I think it's definitely a space I'm going to investigate a bit more, because from the moment I saw your presentation, you've piqued my interest, and today you've probably, I'm not going to sleep tonight because I'm going to be thinking about what I can create. Yeah. So thanks for that.
I think it's very good as well to be able to converse with someone who is not in the field, because how they see 3D printing and how they think of ideas is very different.
Mm.
So it's like a paradox where you expect people to be in, who are in the field, to have more ideas of what is possible, but then because being in the field for so long, they actually close off their possibilities.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the power of collective consciousness. And in today's world, I think the people that open up a technology and tap into the collective consciousness and get the ideas from random people will be the best rewarded, you know. And I think that's what's freaking everyone out with ChatGPT is the first versions they were creating in the lab and testing, and it was quite rudimentary. They did one or two tweaks where they ingested specific code and it learned from that code. I can't remember the exact, it was a validation code format that is very structured. And once they integrated that, it just made it more human-like. And now you have the quickest adoption of any product in the history of humanity. And guess what? It's learning from every single one of us and our consciousness and our thoughts. And it's this engine that's just absorbing all of our thoughts. And, you know, I look at how I'm taking it and applying it with startups to try and not only understand product market fit, but how can they innovate within product market fit and building out these product roadmaps, leveraging it. So this engine is, you know, we're on ChatGPT 4.0. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine what the next two iterations are going to be, because it's learning from a bigger pool of people.
Correct. So I think this is also this is something to look forward to, but also something that a lot of people are scared to step into.
Mm.
Because I think they are very scared of this thing called the singularity.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so of course.
It would be an interesting concept to see what is the combined knowledge of what everyone there is in the world and what will come up from it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there was a paper that's apparently doing the rounds as of yesterday, mm-hmm. which has over 1,000 tech leaders from Silicon Valley, which includes Elon Musk, Steve Wozniak, mm-hmm. and a whole other list of leaders that are asking for a global freeze on AI development for the next 6 months so that we can make sure we understand what we're doing. I think people are freaking out about the rate of development and whether or not we're putting the right principles into the core structure to prevent us from going down a path that we cannot recover from. So what I mean by that is if we don't implement the right logic into AI, then it will not serve us the way we need it to, and it could potentially become disruptive or negative in ways that we don't possibly understand yet. So that's the one side, and the one side of the concern. I think the other side of it, which is the more exciting part and why I always say it's a great time to be alive, is you've got all of these emerging technologies. We've gone from 3IR to 4IR. We're rapidly going from 4IR to 5IR. You've got the convergence of different technologies. We've got IoT that started really going from analog to digital and aggregating everything into a single pane of glass. You now have 3D printing. You have AR, which is really starting to mature. Mm. You've got virtual reality, augmented reality, and you've got this convergence of all these different technologies, which we don't understand where it's going to go. Let's be honest. No one can call with absolute certainty what the output's going to be. And the rate of change, if you look at Moore's law, is reducing all the time. I hope that it gets to a point where humans can really solve all of the compelling pain points that exist in the world. Okay. And we can create a lot more of an equal playing field for where there's not these polarized discrepancies about the quality of life people have and the other life systems that exist on the earth, and that we can start shifting our focus to more creative things, and we can leave the heavy lifting to the machines. And I think that's what I hope the outcome is, and that we can start exploring outside of Earth into, you know, the broader universe, you know, that the rate of innovation allows us to become a species that can expand outside of this planet, but create a sustainable planet. And I think if we do things correctly, that's completely achievable. But that's the maybe altruistic, wishful thinking version of me.
Maybe it can come true, or maybe it won't. But technology have always been there to certainly help improve people's life, to help them do the heavy lifting. That's why we have phone, we have computer, we have cars. But then, to be a bit more pessimistic, because of all this heavy lifting, right, people tends to get more lazy as it goes. So there's always the positive and negative of technology. So for now, we just have to see how AI can bring us to the unknown. Where will it be the future that you think of, or will it become like something like Terminator?
I've always worried about that when I was in my IoT days for the last 7 years, if I was the guy that was unlocking the capabilities of Skynet. But I suppose we don't know. And I think there is logic to making sure that at a holistic level that we understand what we're doing and implement a golden thread to protect our advancement through AI in a way that serves humanity and doesn't become the very thing that destroys us. Yeah.
Correct. So it just depends on, in a way, you still see how far the AI sees to the future. Because if I'm not wrong, there was an experiment where they used computer learning to find out what's the best route for a delivery system. So from there, they have experienced delivery system who say these are the fastest, or that is the fastest way. But when the AI came in, it showed them a whole new different route where they think it's the longest, but then they did not add in the variable of what kind of extra encounters they will meet. In the end, the route that the AI suggested is actually faster than the one suggested by the humans. So from there, what human can determine in, let's say, 4 or 5 years, but AI can actually see further ahead, then how they see a direction will be very different from what we have.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why I believe if AI starts studying the periodic table, starts studying soil analysis to see what we can do with 3D printing. I mean, was it Google? Don't quote me on this, but they created AI. They had an AI model that they developed. And I can't remember the exact mechanics. I'm going to completely butcher this. But long story short, from what I remember, they had to switch it off. Because what happened was the AI, instead of conversing in English, started conversing in something that we didn't understand. And it was going at such a rapid speed that they didn't understand what was going on, and they switched it off. And when they eventually figured out what was going on, it had created its own language because it found a more efficient way to do something, which was language, to converse and get to the point quicker. So it ties in with what you were saying.
Yeah, correct, correct. That's why the example I was giving was also one of the studies that came out from this to the Google case that you just mentioned. Because I also read about the same example where the AI converse in different language than the researchers, they start closing it down. I think that is also the reason why they also want to slow down the current phase of AI, like GPT 4.0. because it could end up in a different manner than we expected.
Well, I think, you know, I am the eternal optimist, and I would like to believe that humanity's got enough good people and smart enough people to put the right structures in place. And people such as yourself are evangelizing us forward in the respective disciplines. I'm excited to see the future of your work, and I hope I get to one day innovate and create something with you.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, I will. Yeah, I think I'd like to thank you for inviting for me to this podcast, because I think I've also learned a lot, and my breadth of mind has widened up to see more possibilities that is possible in the 3D printing space as well.
Awesome. Well, let's have a beer offline, and let's go down some rabbit holes.
Oh, sure. I'll be looking forward to it.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you so much.
Cheers.